Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
My name is Guy Bennett. Today I'm talking to Frederick Pelz, the CEO of Gaia Grow, a hemp company which trades under the symbol GAIA on the Canadian Venture Exchange. Gaia Grow is a new entry to the hemp space, with 1,494 acres growing in southern Alberta. Pelz is a major stakeholder in Gaia Grow. The maiden crop is planted on an area equivalent to 1,100 football fields. Today we're going to find out what it means to be a contract hemp farmer in 2019. Frederick, because this is my first time talking to you and the Equity Guru investors' first time hearing about your company, I'd like to know first a bit about your background.
Sure. Yeah, my background is entrepreneurship to the T. I've ran my own business since I was 14, started with a computer company and moved on from that, went to financing, real estate development, then back to finance and started in cannabis right at the beginning around 2008 through various incarnations, got to the green room in 2013. And that's essentially how Gaia came to be. You know, the vertical integrated dream was something that everybody was pursuing and some still are. But as you can see by a lot of the performances, it's a little bit hazardous to be a vertically integrated cannabis company in Canada.
Yeah.
So, we shifted focus and now you have Gaia Grow Corp.
Did you say you were involved in the cannabis industry in 2008?
That's right.
That's something I'm not used to hearing. What were you doing then?
I was very fascinated by the marketplace, and that was when I decided to pursue, you know, the medical cannabis route.
Yeah.
Through various stages of legislation and really building out my network, creating a name for myself in the industry. I saw it coming then, and took a little time for it to catch up to where I thought it was going to go, and just made myself ready and available.
Tell me about the Green Room. What were its objectives and what was your involvement?
So the Green Room was a legacy market dispensary. Started in Vancouver, and at that time the medical legalization was legal municipally. We provided information for people seeking benefits for their ailments through cannabis, and you know, we expanded throughout the city. And then my mission was to try and spread the message east. So we began opening up information centers across Canada. And they were essentially display booths for everybody east of Vancouver and Victoria, so they could see what cannabis could and should look like, at least according to me. And I think it had a big part in normalizing how people view cannabis in Canada, and it prepared us and many other people, my peers in the industry, for the incoming legalized rec market.
See, that's really interesting to me, because now, if I'm understanding your business model, you're a farmer, correct?
Yeah.
So for a farmer, you have a very entrenched knowledge of this business, almost from the complete opposite side. How does that inform the way you run Gaia Grow?
Well, the important thing to remember is that at the early stages of medical cannabis in Canada, especially in Vancouver, you had to have proper product, and that goes right back to the seed. You have to be accountable for what you sell. So whether you're growing it yourself or have relationships with other growers, you have to have full knowledge of everything in the crop, seed to sale. And it carries through into operations in hemp, cannabis, or really it's just good practice in business.
Yeah.
I'd rather be an expert in one thing than a jack of all trades. And that's sort of how I've built my status as an entrepreneur. I really focus on everything that is involved in my business. So whether it's from marketing to production to sales, Everything has to be accompanied with some sort of transparency and a tool, really, to separate us from what I like to call the other noise in the industry. Farming hemp is very similar to, you know, cannabis, where we had a goal in mind and we just had to follow through.
Yeah. Let's talk about Gaia Grow. Give me the bird's eye view.
So quick bird's eye view of Gaia Grow Corp. We are contract farmers. The intent is to grow a quality hemp product that is tailored to our potential off-takers. It's a move quick, low capex endeavor in which we wanted the flexibility to be able to move with the market. I've analyzed many of the other players, and they're handcuffed by all of their extremely expensive, quote unquote, assets, where we don't own the land, we don't own the equipment, we're not responsible for the labor, but we oversee all of our production. And that gives us the ability to scale up or scale down depending on market conditions. So my main objective for this year was to establish ourselves as a reliable source for biomass, and we did that by ensuring that it was an educated approach. We didn't bite off more than we could chew. Luck had a little bit to do with it also, but in what successful story does luck not play a factor?
Yeah, a contract farmer. What exactly does that mean?
So we wanted to leverage our contacts in the industry and provide a product for them without tying up too much of our own capital.
Yep.
And that's essentially what we did. We looked at what potential appetite there would be for the product and built it backwards from there. So when I look at any marketplace, I think, where is this product going to end up? And then I tailor our operations to ensure that that product is ready for that potential or predetermined offtaker. The important thing to note is with anything, you have to have results to ensure the sale. We wanted to tie up a pre-designed offtake agreement. The problem is that every offtaker is going to have stringent parameters for the product that they want grown.
Yeah.
So instead of gambling on one bet pre-seed, we decided to ensure that we create a product that people will want to purchase. So it's a lot easier to come up to somebody and say, hey, one day I'm going to have a crop. Do you want to buy it? It's a lot better to go up to them and say, I have this crop and here are the specs. How much are you willing to pay?
Your 1,494-acre farmland in Alberta, is there one owner or multiple owners?
There is one owner.
One owner. Yeah. And what was that owner growing before you planted hemp?
I mean, it's a generational farm.
I see.
It's all food grade soil. Anything on there was always designed to be fit for human consumption. That was very key. And again, you know, back to when I talk about accountability, we're from soil to seed to final product. We wanted to know everything out there, from soil studies to agronomy of the plants that we're growing. So it was important to ensure that we were on the best possible land that we could find, and we really found a great partner with the farmer that we're using.
I see. And so you've basically inherited his historical knowledge of that piece of land, their climate, their challenges, their water flow, etc.
That's right. Yeah, we follow their irrigation plans. We have a contracted agronomy team. You know, we really wanted to swing Thor's hammer with having more brain power than not enough. So we looked at all potential information sources that, you know, we didn't have in-house, and we hired the best we could get.
Does the farmer participate in profits?
No. Okay. No, and I'd offer that to him. He's very successful.
Yeah.
I'll start by saying that.
Yeah.
Much like myself, he's laser focused. He's a farmer.
Yep.
He will farm. And, you know, we are a company, and I'm going to make sure that our company is successful, just like he's going to ensure that his farm and his crop is successful. So I don't fault him for taking the money over potential profit.
Okay, let's talk more about your maiden crop. When did it go in and how's it going?
So it planted about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's doing fabulously. We've updated some photos on our website.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, back to being a little bit lucky, we planted a tad bit late and we missed a lot of the severe weather season. So now the crop is about 4 feet, 5 feet tall, very robust, very strong crop. And outside of frost, which we're not too concerned of, I think we dodged all the major bullets that could plague any agricultural operation. And it's beautiful. I'm going to be coming back to do a quick video update for our shareholders and walk through the fields so they could see. We'll get some nice aerial footage because it really is a sight to behold.
And when do you anticipate harvesting this crop?
Well, we're in talks with a few potential off-takers, and it really comes down to them. We have to make a decision on who we sell it to. There's a lot of other factors that come into play, and they almost dictate, you know, the method of drying it, when to take it down, and that's based on the agronomy and their needs for the biomass. So it could be as early as next week or two. It could be as late as, you know, early October.
You do not currently operate an CBD extraction facility. Is that correct or not correct?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
Do you plan to in the future?
It really depends. You know, the ability for us to diversify is really going to depend on the demand. You know, back to what I said earlier, I'm really laser focused on the task at hand, and that is grow a successful crop and sell it. With the cannabis facility coming online shortly after that, we'll explore that opportunity if the market has a demand for it, or if we can make a significant impact. It's something we would look at for sure.
With CBD, well, first of all, I'm interested. I know about the U.S. Farm Bill that I think was passed in December of 2018 and how that was a game changer for hemp growers stateside. Does it affect you?
It does. It opens up a much larger marketplace in Canada. The important thing to note is the Farm Bill is still not complete.
Yeah.
And we erred on the side of caution. We planted a Health Canada approved strain, which is okay to sell and export to the U.S. as well as the EU. Certain strains that are currently grown in the U.S. aren't FDA compliant, from what I understand.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure that whatever it is we planted, the larger companies that would be looking at it would be able to rest easy if they purchased our product and know that it's a long-term cultivar and accepted.
For this first harvest and your first year or two, do you plan mostly selling to Canadians?
That would be the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
Again, we got lucky. East Coast experienced above normal temperatures and below average rainfall. So those crops are few and far between for successful ones anyway. Same with Central Europe. So I feel there'll be some demand from Canada. I also feel that the U.S. would be an interesting partner to take this product and turn it into something else, given the demand. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the one that makes the most sense for us to do.
Are you interested in other biological derivatives from the hemp plant other than CBD, like CBG?
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff's exciting, and fundamentally, my appreciation for hemp and cannabis all comes from all the benefits that they can provide. And once we get to a point where we're looking to diversify, expand the business, those are areas that I'm very interested in. For the time being, I'm still just a farmer. I want to grow this crop and I want to make sure it sells.
Tell me a bit about the demand side of CBD. Where is it at now?
CBD can be used in everything. You know, we see it in cosmetics, we see it in sports supplements to ointments, you name it. We still don't really even know how much this can benefit people, and legalization is a key point in exploring that. Now the R&D money can come in, and we can really know what kind of a fabulous plant this is and all the uses for it.
personally, I find it quite astonishing that CBD has caught hold the way it has, given the dearth of real hard science around it. You know, most of it is anecdotal.
Medical research is great and it's needed, but when it comes down to, you know, benefiting your neighbor, that's how it spread so quickly. People just said, hey, it helped my friend, it helped me, give it a try. And because it has no psychoactive effects, I feel people were a lot more comfortable with it than, let's say, cannabis.
I dug around a bit on Cedar. I see that you own a lot of this company. So tell me a bit about that, your personal investment in it, and also the share structure.
You know, it's important to note that this was always going to happen, whether it went public or not.
Yeah.
I stake horse this myself in the beginning.
Yeah.
I've always my intent to see it through. The remainder of the people that we went to for the raise are all close friends and family. It's been a something that I believed in for a very long time. I've put my life into it. I put, you know, a lot of my close friends and biggest supporters are in it with me.
And for some of our investors that are new, and we do always have a sort of a flow of new investors, what does that mean for them when they hear that the CEO owns a big chunk of the company?
It shows that I'm committed.
Yeah.
The success of this company is heavily dependent on myself, and I'm interested in a lot of the reward too, just as they should be. You know, we're equally in this together. Everybody that's invested in this company is right there with me. If I put this much of it on my back, I have to bring everybody across the line with me for us to be successful.
Yeah. So, when you guys get going, how many harvests can you do a year?
Fairly one a year.
One.
With our cannabis asset, and again, that's something to come after we're successful with this first phase of our business plan. We'll be able to turn a cash crop every 6 to 8 weeks. But solely with hemp, you're looking at one crop a year.
How high can the plants grow?
Hopefully to the moon, but yeah. They're usually about 6 to 7 feet.
What do the next 12 months look like for Gaia Grow? What are your milestones?
Well, number one is successfully harvest this crop,
yeah.
and get it off taken, show some cash flow, and the bottom line is what matters to me. Move forward with our cannabis facility. That is a really beautiful structure. We have essentially zero CapEx going into this, and we are our speed to built is unmatched. We're bare ground to fully constructed in 6 weeks. We're going to build out 10,000 square feet and hopefully grow some of the best cannabis Canada's ever seen. And as the demand grows, we're able to scale that out as fast as we want. So I'm a big fan of logistics. Facility one is successful. We built facility two in BC, basically copy and paste.
Yeah.
Facility three in Ontario, and keep going as needed. And we can scale up, like I said, in 6 to 8 weeks.
How is it that you're able to do it that quickly?
It's a pre-manufactured structure.
I see.
And it's R34 insulated, high quality building. They've really got it down to a science. I've been in them. I've seen them firsthand. Important thing on that, the reasoning behind it is, again, not being firmly attached to any of our hard assets. We're able to scale up or scale down as the market dictates. So ultimate flexibility is what I'm after with them.
I also see you're being a bit cautious with the shareholders' money, that you've just purchased crop insurance. Is that correct?
Correct. Most farmers would get crop insurance.
Yep.
It's a good way to stay at zero.
And
yeah, you know, I look after the shareholders' money as if it was my own. We have a very skeleton team. Everything is accounted for in a method that we're profitable. So if phase one, for whatever reason, didn't work out, we wanted to make sure that we at least had our bet covered.
Well, I think that's about it. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
We really look forward to telling this story, and let's talk again soon.
Absolutely, and keep an eye out for all the updates we have coming. There's really quite a lot. I appreciate your time.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.